I'm riding along, singing the same old cowboy song that's been sung 100 times before.
It might be the same song, but it's a brand new day. Good morning, Arizona. You are tuned in to Rosie on the House, your number one choice for weekend radio for 28 years in a row now.
And counting.
And counting. Almost 29.
Mm-hmm.
This is the 7 o'clock hour. We throw the doors open to all kinds of topics as they relate to Arizona. We don't necessarily dive into housing topic particularly, or gardening, or it could be like last weekend we were in Prescott for Arizona's Christmas City's parade and courthouse lighting. This hour, in the second half, we're going to hear from Dr. Sky. There's a lot of interesting things going on overhead this week, so we'll get an update on that. But right now we're joined in studio by Director Jeff Fleetham of the Register of Contractors. We appreciate you getting up and coming down here this morning.
All right. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, for somebody that might be new or is not familiar with the Register of Contractors because they've never been in a home or they've never had to hire a contractor, what purpose does the registrar serve?
Well, that's great. Well, here's what I've heard that question before.
Question.
So, what
yeah.
are you doing? Well, what the registrar does is in 1931, the registrar was statutorily created, and what we do is we license. If you want to be a contractor in the state of Arizona, you have to be licensed, and to do that, you have to have certain things that you have to have. You have to have experience. You have to pass tests. You have to put a bond in place, and the registrar is the place where all that happens. And if something happens, for instance, if there's a disagreement one way or another, a homeowner can file a complaint against a licensed contractor. A licensed contractor, say a subcontractor, has a problem against a general contractor, they can file a complaint there. And what we do is we try to help get those things resolved, and should they not get resolved in the residential area, for instance, the homeowner then can file claim if the case is adjudicated and the contractor is found to be at fault and won't correct the problem, then the homeowner then can make claim to the residential recovery fund and recover certain monies up to a certain amount, up to $30,000 maximum, if it's found that that was the loss, for their loss. So.
And how many active licenses are there in the state?
There's about 37,000.
Wow.
We don't license individual. We license businesses. So these are licensed businesses. It may be that a company has two licenses, for instance, or more, but there's 37,000 approximately licensed entities in the state of Arizona.
And when you say they may have more than one license, they may have more than one service they provide.
Sure. It may be that, for instance, if you're a general contractor, if a person is a general residential contractor, for instance, they have to subcontract plumbing and electrical and other trades. Some of those companies they have to subcontract those unless they have that license. Some of those companies have decided that they are going to get those licenses as well. So, and there's other sort of things. You know, somebody might have a plumbing license and an electrical license, or a plumbing license and a HVAC license, that type of thing.
And as a licensed contractor, obviously there's a fee to get the license, keep the license. That fee helps fund the recovery fund should there be an incident.
For residential contractors, when they first get their license, there's an assessment that goes into the recovery fund, and every time that they renew, they place more money into that. So yes, that is a contractor funded through assessments, the recovery fund. That's how that's funded.
And now that I've gone through the steps, I've experienced, I've done my training, I've gone through the tests, I pay my dues, I have my license. What is that? It's a 6-digit number. And I have to do what with it?
You have to do what with your license number?
Correct.
Well, if you're advertising with your license, you have to have your license number. If you're advertising, so if it's Romy Construction, in any advertising you have to list that number, ROC, hashtag your six-digit number.
That's to your benefit as well. It shows that
it's to your benefit, and it's also to anybody's benefit that's doing business with you. They can research you.
Now, how do they do that? Because I can spout off six numbers pretty quick. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're legitimate. How does the homeowner consumer go check that? Yeah, I'm licensed. It's 48239 or 6.
Okay, niner. Well, they can come to our website and they can search there. They can. We have a search tool where they can search by license number. They can search by person's name. For instance, Joe Schmo comes to your door, knocks on your door, and says, "Hey, I'm a contractor. Here's this number. Let me replace your roof that got damaged in the last monsoon storm." Well, you can check by that person's name. You can check by the company that they say. And you can also check by the license number.
And you should check all three.
You should. I would recommend that, yes.
Especially after a storm, what they call storm chasers.
Well, there's a few of those people around, yes. So you want to check those things. And you want to check with people that you know. And if you're still uncomfortable with that, you can always call our office and you can ask somebody if there's something you don't understand there.
And the benefit of looking up the license number is to make sure that the number that they give matches the company name that they're representing or their name if they're the license holder.
Right. All of those things are important. For instance, there's a posting on our website that said some things to pay attention to. It's really, if you were to print it out, it's on an 8.5 by 11 sheet. It talks about some things that you want to be certain of. One, you want to make certain that the person that you're dealing with actually works for the company. So I would suggest unless somebody has personal knowledge of the people, that the people call and say, "Hey, there's a guy knocking on my door. Does this guy work for you?"
We had that happen to a partner of ours, a general in Tucson.
Right.
Had a superintendent's that started his own company but used former license.
And listen, look, if you will write the check to me personally instead of the company, I will give you a discount. I suggest never do that.
I suggest never do that.
Or if you pay me cash directly, I will do a better job for you. My recommendation is people can do what they want to do, but if you give somebody cash to somebody that doesn't work for the company that has the name on some card that they made out, it's not going to work out well for you. There's going to ultimately probably be no resolution. The chances are that the person's not licensed. And if they are not licensed, if a homeowner does business with an unlicensed entity, there is no resolution at the Registrar of Contractors. They can file a complaint and we can issue a civil claim, but there's no recovery of funds.
That would have to go through the court system, at which point it probably cost you more than they ripped off from you to begin with.
I'm not certain. I don't know about that. However, there's interesting that kind of leads us into – now I'm leading the conversation. Sorry, Romy. So that leads us into – there's a statute that's in the state of Arizona that says if you did business with an unlicensed entity and – you didn't pay that unlicensed entity, and they wanted to sue you, they can't sue you for the monies you owe them because unless they can prove that they were properly licensed. And if they're unlicensed, then statute 321153, I won't read this out loud.
You're going to spare us all.
I guess I could.
It's legal talk.
I will give you a summary of it.
It's too early in the morning think of legalities.
I'll give you a summary of what it says. It says, in a legal action, now remember, this is still legal talk, okay? I know it's a little early, so it's drink a little
bit
more
translate.
Coffee.
But you'll translate.
Right. In a legal action to collect compensation for a contract that requires a license, the contractor has the duty to prove it was licensed in entering the contract and the cause action arose. That means if they're unlicensed, that they can sue for money. They can't sue the person they were doing. In other words, whether it's the homeowner or a commercial property or not, if they're business with an if unlicensed entity, that unlicensed entity can't come back and sue for the money.
So that likely does create layer of protection then.
3253 has been out a while, but it's not really advertised. We will probably be advertising, providing my advisor go.
I have seen this entire book, but I'm guessing by the time we're at 32-1154, I'd say most people probably check out at 1.04.
There you go.
This is pretty far into the law book here.
So,
but that's good. I didn't know that. Now, I've heard of people placing liens. Can they still try and bypass it by going?
I don't know about liens, but I do know that they can't sue for the money if they're not properly licensed. If they're unlicensed.
I don't say this a lot, but that was a smart law. I'm glad they did that for the contracting world in Arizona.
So it's not just for the licensed contracting in the state of Arizona is in place. The legislature has passed the statutes requiring those things, and as long as that's a statute here, it's one of those things where it is fair. It makes it not fairness. It's your company has to be licensed, and that means you following certain guidelines. You've got a certain level of experience that you have to have to get that license, and that means other people out there should as well. The chances of you having having adequate liability insurance, which is not required to be a licensed contractor in the state of Arizona, proper liability insurance, the chances of you having workman's compensation, the chances of if one of your employees falls off a roof, that it's your insurance that's going to have to cover it and not the homeowners, because they hired somebody, because the homeowner then was the employer themselves. Now, I'm not legal counsel, but those are all things that people should consider when they go for the low-cost option of somebody that's not licensed.
You made a great point earlier this morning about people put more effort into their cell phone plan than a contractor they're about to spend $30,000 with for a little room addition.
That's what it appears like sometimes. There's more due diligence in those kind of things.